Okay, stick that in your pocket.
I'm all wired up.
Yeah, you are. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Windling!
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Take your Bibles and don't take your Bibles quite yet, because I wanted to share something first. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the word states that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, which is instruction in righteousness. All Scripture without exception. And then in Romans 15:4, we read that those things which were written aforetime were written for what? For our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. They were written for our learning. And those things before time, we know, were those things that occurred and were written before the day of Pentecost. So today, I'd like to turn to the book of Joshua. And we'll take a look at one of those records that was written aforetime for our learning and see what we can learn. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, the book of Joshua, has been referred to as the Ephesians of the Old Testament. And the reason that is because the book of Joshua depicts the promise fulfilled, the inheritance, the promise of God's word to his people for their inheritance fulfilled. The book of Ephesians talks about our inheritance fulfilled. In Joshua, it was a physical inheritance. It was the promised land that God told his people. He had promised Abraham and then Moses that that would be their inheritance, this promised land. In Ephesians, it's a spiritual inheritance that we have. But beginning in the book of Joshua, Joshua is actually it's the culmination of the first five books of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses, and they're culminated in the book of Joshua. It's the capstone of those first five books of the Bible. Joshua is also the foundation of all those books that follow in the Old Testament. It's the inheritance received for the promise that God gave to the children of Israel. Joshua is also the first book in the Bible that is given a man's name, Joshua. So let's begin in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. This was God's promise to his people. All this would be his. And it's interesting to note that God is putting in the future tense, that, or in the past tense, that which is in the future. He says, I've already given it to you. Had they had it? Do they have it? Not yet. He's putting this, he said, you have it. I've given it to you. It's yours. Now go take it. Joshua was a proven, he was a minister of Moses. He was a man of God. He was also a proven man of war. And Joshua, as you recall, when Moses sent the spies in to check out the promised land, only two of them came back with a favorable response, Joshua and Caleb. And because of that, they were the only two allowed to go into the promised land from that generation. Everyone that was in there had to die off, including Moses, before they could take it. Now, God finally says, Joshua, you lead my people. He was God's chosen man to lead his people to their inheritance in the promised land. Verse 5 says, there shall no man not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This sounds like manifestations we hear. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He promised all this land to him. He promised Joshua that there would not be a man able to stand before him as he went in to take this promised land for God's people. Now let's go to chapter 7. This is a record that I'd like to share today that maybe unfamiliar to some of you. Maybe you've read it, maybe not. It might be a new record. But in Joshua chapter 7, we're going to skip over the first conquest that they made. That was the city of Jericho. God told them they'd give it to them. They went over. They took this great city. It was an incredible victory for the children of Israel. And now it's time to move on. So, in chapter 7 of Joshua, the next city, the next kingdom to be conquered is the kingdom of Ai. It's spelled A-I. I've always pronounced it Ai, and I believe that's correct. That Joshua, in verse 2, sent men of chapter 7 from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few." So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon the face before the ark of the Lord unto the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelled on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies?" What just happened here? Holy. Yeah, this wasn't supposed to happen. Why did this happen? Thank you, Alex, for that expletive. Maybe you didn't hear that, but they were defeated in this battle. Why did this happen? And what happened here? Look at chapter 6. When they had the conquest of Jericho, God gave the children of Israel some very specific instructions on what they could do, what they couldn't do, and how they were to do it. They went in and conquered that entire city of Jericho and completely obliterated it. In verse 17, we read, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord." The word accursed should actually more be translated the word devoted or consecrated. This was the first city that they would take, and this was the city and everything in it was to be devoted unto the Lord. "Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed," or devoted, the devoted thing. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. "But all the silver and all the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated or devoted unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So Jericho was the first city that they were to take when they made their conquest of the promised land. It was the first city, and they were told that of this first conquest, they were to give all the gold, all the silver, all the brass, all the iron was to go into the treasury of the Lord. It was the first city, and the first fruits of that conquest were to be given to God. That was His commandment. And much as we're instructed to do today, to give the first fruits of our labor to God, they were instructed in this first city, this first conquest, to give the spoils of that city to the treasury of the Lord. So, what happened? Let's look at chapter 7 again. Well, before, look at Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you can't get there, I'll just read you this verse, because this was a commandment even prior to this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26 says, "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be cursed, a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it's a cursed thing." They were clearly instructed from God by Joshua not to take this stuff. Joshua, all in all, took 31 kingdoms in his conquest of the promised land for the children of Israel. This record is the only record of him ever losing men in battle. About 36, it says. It's the only record ever recorded of him losing men in battle. Now, 36 might not sound like a whole lot of people in the context of a battle, of a war, but what if it was your husband? What if it was your son? What if it was your brother? It's a big deal. It wasn't God's will that these men should die. Chapter 7, verse 1, and we'll begin to see what happened here. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel," the children of Israel. You see, one guy did this. One man took of the accursed thing, yet God lays the sin of this at the feet of Israel. "Israel hath committed a trespass," he said. There was an accursed thing. Achan was the man who took this. And there was a series of mistakes made here that caused this to happen and that removed God's hand of blessing from the children of Israel for this conquest. The first one and the most obvious one is the theft, which the word we'll see refers to this, that Achan did. He stole that which was to go to the treasury of the Lord. It was disobedience to God's word, and it was theft. And God told him not to do that. Achan did it, and 36, about 36 innocent men lost their lives because of that. So he stole the theft. Malachi 3:10 says, "Will a man rob God?" And it says, "Wherein will we rob thee? In tithes and offerings." And then God says, "Bring all the tithes and the offerings into my storehouse, that there might be meat, and I'll open up to you the windows of heaven, that there shall not be enough room to receive it." When tithes and offerings, things that are to go to the treasury of the Lord, are withheld from God, it says you're robbing God. We're robbing God. And that's exactly what Achan did here. It was theft. The second one was pride. It was pride in the hearts of the children of Israel. It had crept into Joshua's heart. They had just seen this tremendous victory in Jericho that they did. And they were thinking, look what we did. Look what we did. So Joshua, in verse 2, sent men to Ai, and they said, "There's just a few of them. We don't need to send everybody. We can do this. Look what we just did in Jericho. Let's do it. Let's just send a few and we'll wipe them out." And of course, that didn't happen. But it was pride in their hearts that allowed that to happen. And then the third mistake I see was that Joshua didn't ask God what to do. He listened to the word of men. He sent these men and asked them to go and asked them what they thought and took their advice. And it's not indicated in this record before this battle that Joshua ever asked God what to do. So it was a series of mistakes that built on each other that caused the death of about 36 innocent men. Chapter 7, let's go to verse 10 now. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? This is right after the battle of Ai. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and have dissembled also, for they put it even among their own stuff. It was in their stuff that he put it. God is revealing to Joshua now what happened and why this happened and what was the root cause of it. And he says, get up. He said, Joshua, I've got things for you to do. Get up off your face. Get back into fellowship with me and let's move. Therefore the children of Israel, verse 12, could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more except you destroy the accursed thing or the devoted thing from among you. Verse 13, up, get up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against the morrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. There was sin in the camp. And God revealed that to Joshua. There was sin in the camp that needed to be removed, and it took the man of God, Joshua, to do this. Whenever there is broken fellowship, whenever there is sin in the camp, God's hand and His blessing is removed from that situation. I'm going to share three scriptures here we can go to rather quickly. I've got mine marked, so if it's hard to get to, these are in the Old Testament also. I'll just read them to you. The first one is in Ezra 9, verse 15. It says, O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before Thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before Thee because of this. Next one is Isaiah 59. In verse 1 and 2, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. It was the sin, it was the iniquities, the trespasses, that lifted God's hand of protection and God's blessing from the children of Israel in this situation, in that first battle of Ai. And then the final one here is in Ecclesiastes 9:18, where it says, Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. God is revealing to Joshua what happened and what to do to rectify this situation, to get the entire nation of Israel back in fellowship with Him. Verse 14, In the morning ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come. So He told them, bring the tribes, we'll take the tribes, then we'll go through the families, then we'll go through the men, and man by man, and person by person, and this is how we're going to find out who did this. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, verse 16, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Joshua now is listening to God. He's asking God, and God is showing him, he's revealing to him how to do this. This is word of knowledge and word of wisdom, because he's going to show him what to do once it is revealed. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan comes clean. Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver underneath it." He lays out for Joshua exactly what he did. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The root of all evil, the love of money is the root of all evil, where some, having coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And that's exactly what Achan's done to himself here. The word covet is a great story, but that's another teaching. It's a great study, I mean. What it means to covet something, coveting is an inordinate lust for things, for stuff. Not necessarily just money, but it's, you have it, I want it, I'm going to get it somehow. Achan admitted that he coveted the goodly Babylonish garment, he coveted the wedge of gold, the silver, and he took that stuff when he knew better, hid it under his tent, and because of the error of that one man, 36 innocent people lost their lives. So Joshua sent messengers, verse 22, and they ran to his tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and unto the children of Israel. Children of Israel. And they laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan. This is an interesting verse, these next three verses. They took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment. Look at all the ands here. This is a figure of speech in these next three verses, where ands, many ands, it's the figure of speech polysyndeton, which is used for emphasis. There are 17 ands in these next three verses. Look at this. Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. I guess that's pretty much eliminating the source of the problem, wouldn't you say? God doesn't command us to do that type of thing today, but he does expect us to recognize when there is sin and confront that sin. And Joshua was the man of God that had the spiritual guts to do that, to stand up and take care of that sin in the camp so the rest of Israel could prosper and be blessed as God had promised. And he did that. He got rid of that. So let's go to the book of Ephesians now. And we'll close in Ephesians this morning. No, wait. We got to see what happens. I can't leave the brothers hanging with this. Let's see what happens before we close in Ephesians. So, chapter 8. This is the next battle of Ai. This is the best part. I almost missed it. I'm not going to leave the brothers hanging. Let's read it. Chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. This sounds a little bit different, doesn't it, than the first time. He said, don't touch the stuff. It goes to my treasury. That's what I want with the gold and the silver and all of this. In this next conquest, God says, it's all yours. You take it. Whatever you need. He promised that Joshua and the children of Israel would prosper as they took this promised land. And it's going to begin right here as they got themselves back into fellowship with God, removed the source of the problem, and God's showing him exactly through word of knowledge and word of wisdom how to do it. And he says, lay an ambush for them. This is really cool. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. Excuse me. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. 30,000. That's a little different than 3,000 the men suggested, isn't it? This was God's will. You take everybody. Take 30,000 men and go kick their butt. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we'll flee before them. We'll trick them. This time we're going to trick them. Because they'll come out after us till we have drawn them away from the city. For they'll say, they flee before us at the first. Therefore, we'll flee before them. You see what's happening? They're going to make like the first time. And when they start coming after them, they're going to run. And you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you. This is great military strategy. It's an ambush that God showed Joshua how to do. An ambush, and it's really the oldest trick in the book. And this is the book. So, they have them. So they set this ambush. Joshua rose up early. Let's see. He sent them forth, verse 9. They went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And he rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. When they had set the people, even all the host, the north of the city, you could follow this with a map and see how it happened, but they've got them surrounded now. The north, the west, and coming up from the front, before the plain. And Joshua said, Joshua and all Israel, when they went up before him, verse 14, it came to pass, the king of Ai saw it, and they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at a time appointed before the plain. But he knew not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. This is going just how he planned it so far. And all the people that were in Ai called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai, Bethel, or Bethel, that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. This is working great. This is working great so far. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear, for that is in thy hand toward Ai. and I will give it to thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. They entered in the city, took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. Can you see how this is unfolding? The guys who were waiting behind after they left the city, these guys went in, torched the place. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness, these were Joshua's people that fled into the wilderness, turned back upon their pursuers, the people of Ai. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them, so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had met an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they chased them, where they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. 12,000. And Joshua had 30,000. He actually had them outnumbered right at this point. And that was God's will, that they go in and conquer these kingdoms and take this promised land. And he had them do it, and they were able to do that and have this victory once they got themselves back in fellowship and removed the sin from the camp. Let's go to Ephesians now, and now we will close. Ephesians chapter 1. So, Romans 15:4 said those things written aforetime were written for our learning. And that's what we've looked at today in this record from Joshua. So what have we learned? Did we learn anything? Well, let me tell you what this says to me, is that today we're still fighting the battle of Ai. Only right now, the battle of Ai is spelled with a capital I. It's a spiritual battle that I am fighting and you are fighting. And whereas Joshua and his people had physical battles and physical enemies to conquer, ours is a spiritual battle. And the battlefield is in our mind, and lives are still at stake today. It just shows me that what we can do when we get ourselves in fellowship with the Father, and we're walking and listening to Him. See, in that second battle, God revealed to Joshua just how to lay it out. It was word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Joshua listened to it, obeyed it, and total victory. And that's how we can walk and we can live in the battle of Ai today. The battlefield's in our minds. And we have a spiritual battle to fight. We also have a spiritual inheritance. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. We have this inheritance, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. All the promises that God has given to us today, we can claim. He had given that land to the children of Israel, that physical land, to conquer those kingdoms. They had to go and take it. They could have opted not to do that, even though God says it's yours. Same with us today. God's given us promises. He's given us blessings that we can claim and that we can take as our own. But we have to go and take it. We have to fight that battle. And then finally, in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, we read, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Sounds like the same words almost that God gave to Joshua. Be strong, be of a good courage, for I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's how we fight today. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle that we wage today. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. And when we are in fellowship with God, we can hear from Him, just like Joshua did. When we are serving one God and listening to God in fellowship with Him, we can command any situation we're faced with. That's God's promise to us today. In addition to the inheritance, the blessings He's given to us, the abundance in not only this life now, but through all eternity. That's our inheritance that we can go and claim. All right? God bless.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, at this time we will receive our love offering. And it is a...